What's up, guys? Welcome to the Penthouse 5 podcast, episode number 15. Today, this episode, we are going over... I'm doing my first book review. That's something I said in the last episode. I'm going to try and do every now and then. I'm going to check out a few books that I think, I think you guys should read if you want to improve on certain things. But today's book review is called The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. I've just finished this book. No, I haven't listened to the audio version, actually. I listened to a seminar he did as well after. But we're going to quickly go over this book. With this podcast, again, for those listeners who haven't listened to this podcast before, we've got a YouTube version as well. So if you're watching that and you haven't seen this before, this podcast is all about music business, music marketing, music in general. I'm John Kent. I run a band called Penthouse 5, and we're a very busy wedding and corporate and events band and stuff. And I work with a great bunch of musicians. We do other stuff as well, obviously, outside the band, all of us, like music-wise, I mean. We're going to create this. This is a platform where we can hopefully get a community together of musicians who are doing different things within the music industry. But the main purpose of this is really to teach our experiences, provide value. And all of that is going to be based upon music, music business, music marketing, making money in music, all those kind of things. So if you're a musician, this is the kind of podcast that we want to create to help you. So without further ado, we're going to crack in straight into this book. As I said, it's by a guy called Hal Elrod. The book starts with a story of him, basically. He basically he paints a pretty good picture of this particular scene where he's like doing really well in like sales and stuff like that. And I can't really remember his career exactly, but he was doing really well anyway. And he's like, I think he was in his 20s or something like that. Anyway, he is driving down the highway. Obviously, he's from the US. So he's driving down the highway or motorway, as we call it in the UK. He's driving down about 70 miles an hour. And he ends up in a head-on collision with another motorist who joins onto the motorway coming the opposite way, like a drunk driver, completely going the wrong way. He's also driving 70 miles an hour. They have a like head-on collision, obviously like really bad accident, no braking or anything. And then after that collision, another car hits his car again, but on the driver's side. So he gets like the full impact. There's again the seminar that I said I watched. He's doing like a talk. Obviously this book came out after all that sort of stuff, and they show pictures of it and stuff, and the car is an absolute wreck, like, and he's, you know, completely been fucked over, like broken bones everywhere. Like he actually got put into a coma for 2 weeks, I think it is. He's just in like a really bad way, you know. The doctor said, you know, you're not, like, said to his family, he's probably not going to wake up for 6 to 12 weeks. He ended up waking up after 2 weeks, and he had a bit of memory loss, I think, for a few days, and then he started to to get his memories back and stuff, not of the accident or anything, but of his history and stuff. That's pretty much like the picture he paints at the start, this horrific accident that he had and the position he was put in. Anyway, the book goes on, because, if you guys want to read it, then I'll let you read the rest of it. But he introduces himself and, like, one of the biggest things that impacted his life, like, you know. But really, it's to do with his mindset as well, which is absolutely phenomenal. In that mindset where the doctors also said that he's probably not ever going to walk again, he has this thing which he learned from his sales and stuff, that his career and stuff in sales. He learned that he was allowed to give himself 5 minutes after anything that happened where it was like something bad happened or something that would make you frustrated or anything like that kind of thing would happen that would maybe take you off out of the blue or something, you know, but like, oh, what the fuck, like, why is this happening? He was allowed 5 minutes to complain about it and bitch and moan, and after 5 minutes was up, he had to say, okay, can't change this. It's happened, you know? And after that, his mind had to change to okay, that's like, accept it. Now what? Like, what do we do now? What do I do now to move on from this? And that's exactly, like, he had done that his whole career. And then after this, obviously he's laying in hospital. They've told him he's not going to walk again. And he does this exact thing. He bitches and moans about it and cries about it. And, you know, you imagine like being told that you can never walk again, or you're not going to be able to walk again, most likely. So he gives himself this time to do that. And then after that, he's like, okay, you know what? If that's the way it's going to be, I have to accept it. But I'm not going to accept it completely until I've at least tried. So he's accepted that he might not ever be able to walk again, but he hasn't accepted it to the point where he's not going to try, at least. But if it does end up, then he's fine with it, okay? It is what it is. I can't change it now. So that's like one of the biggest things I took away from it, is his mindset of how to really give yourself a short window to maybe bitch and moan about it, as we all do, especially from England. We love to complain about shit. But I think that's like one of the best things I took away from the book. But anyway, get on with the actual book and stuff as it moves on. I've got some notes over here just in case you're wondering why I'm looking over if you're watching the video version of this. So the premise of the book, it's called The Miracle Morning, and it's about basically waking up 1 hour before you have to. Now, what the purpose of this is if you're waking up at 6 a.m, let's say, and that's what time you wake up for work or something like that. Let's say you got to wake up at 6 a.m, and that just gives you enough time to get breakfast, get a shower, and do a few bits that, you know, you just do, whatever, and then you go to work. You know, maybe it's like half an hour, 45 minutes before you have to go to work. He's basically saying, wake up 1 hour before you have to. So not 1 hour, 1 hour before you normally do. So if it was the 6 a.m. routine we just said, then you wake up at 5 a.m. It doesn't have to be 5 a.m., but that's one of the examples he uses during the book. So it's 1 hour before you normally wake up. Now, the purpose of waking up this 1 hour before is to give yourself 1 hour to work on yourself. That's like this self-development. So putting in the time to develop in yourself and focusing on a few things with that hour, and then starting your morning in that way. Now, I'm going to find a few bits here. I've noted down page 18 I got down here. I mean, I've highlighted this book. There's some real gems in here. Some real gems of knowledge, you know? I love books like that. But yeah, where is it? Page 18, what I got noted here. If I'm lazy or... Oh, wait, where is it? Ah, here we go, here we go. I tend to have a fairly... Oh, yeah, so he's saying, if I'm lazy or haphazard in my actions during the first hour after I wake up, I tend to have a fairly lazy, unfocused day. But if I strive to make the first hour optimally productive, the rest of my day tends to follow suit. So that was a quote I highlighted. I thought that was like, that resonated with me, because, you know, you're starting your day off on the right foot. He talks a lot about stuff like, you know, people that snooze their alarms and shit like that. And we'll get into that in a minute, but like, you have to understand like what those kind of things do to you, like in your mind and in your habits and stuff like that. Another one I got here. If you want your life to be different, oh, this is one of my favorite quotes from the book. If you want your life to be different, you have to be willing to do something different first. That's so true, isn't it? I mean, like, if you really want to change things up and stuff, you literally just got to jump out of your comfort zone, seek discomfort. Like, that's the only way you grow. And I think like a lot of us have done that, but we haven't. We kind of easily get sucked into routines which make us safe. Even our playing routines, you know, like we end up getting stagnant in our practice routines because we maybe are trying to challenge ourselves, and then we, you know, I know so many musicians back in the day when we used to practice and stuff, and I'm talking to them, and they say about, you know, when they practice, it's hard to get that motivation when you're on your instrument to get into the routine. You know, like, you could sit there for maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, time just goes like that when you're playing music, you know, and you're just noodling. You just, you know, maybe on the drums or something, you're just doing some drum fills or practicing some licks that you already know aren't making you better, but you're just practicing them again and again, right? It's not challenging, it's something you, and it's enjoyable because you can do it. So yeah, it's like about stepping out of your comfort zone and stepping into seeking discomfort. And that's the way you're going to really change things up, if you're wanting to do that. I think I highlighted something else down here. Oh yeah, so he goes down here, I've just highlighted this. So within the hour, so you could do anything in that hour, obviously, but the point of it is to work on some things for yourself. So some of the activities he mentions are meditation, affirmations, journaling, visualization, and reading and exercising. That's just a few examples he gives that he does in his hour. So there's a few that I've taken from that. Reading is definitely one of the things I've taken from that. So I'll wake up and I'll do at least half an hour worth of reading. I'll exercise as well, just like a little bit, not my main workout, but it's something. Meditation as well, I find that really helpful. I do that every day for about 10 minutes in the morning. But yeah, things like that. It's about waking up 1 hour before you normally would, and within that hour, just putting in some work to yourself. Okay, so in my last episode or two episodes ago on the podcast, I spoke about setting goals. I think it was actually episode 13. So if you want to go back to that one, check that out. But when you're setting goals and stuff, it's about setting them either for the year or both, really, for the year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. Because it's something I've been looking into and really putting my focus on. But when you are establishing goals, you have to, you know, they're always told to set them out, right? Like a year, 5 years, 10 years. But when you really draw that back, you have to draw it back to find out, like, okay, what do I have to do in the next 6 months, 5 months? What do I have to do by this certain date to get the year end goal? All right, what do I have to do weekly? What do I have to do monthly? All right. So for example, one of my goals, and this is away from music, but it's still about learning, educating ourselves or myself, is I want to read at least 12 books on the subjects of, you know, something that's going to improve my understanding, my education, my subjects that I'm interested in. Okay, so I want to read at least 12 of those books. So I have to do one a month. So I have to do something every week, and I have to do a certain amount every day. So that's what I'm waking up 1 hour early, then I have to, and I'm getting that half an hour reading in, or I'm getting those 20 pages down. That's really the purpose. That's pretty much the premise of the book. And it gives you examples of, like, you know, different things you should do or you can do, the reasons behind those things, why they're going to be beneficial, examples of other people, successful people that have done those things. I mean, it's a really good book. I definitely recommend it to anyone. If any of this is resonating with you or you sound like you might be interested, I definitely recommend it. It's a real easy read as well. It's only about, how many pages is it? It's not very many. Yeah, it's like a couple of hundred pages, 200 pages or something like that. It's like real quick. And it's a really easy read as well. It's written real nice. The why, so yeah, I've got another quote highlighted. Page 32. Where's 32? We'll find it. All right, so this is pretty much like the goal and the why of you doing this. So I've highlighted this as quoted. I want to get out of bed every day and truly love my life. I want to love my work. I want to love people I get to share my life with and work with. That's my definition of success. That's the kind of life that just doesn't happen. It must be designed. I mean, I really like the idea of designing your life. Really, like, again, looking at the goals, looking at things like, and I've listened to a couple of audiobooks in another book that I'm reading at the moment. And really, like, I've been learning a lot about habits, okay? The importance of habits, man, is crazy, because you're programming your mind to do something. After a certain time, it becomes not conscious, but subconscious. And your brain, you've like, when you create something, when you do something, you're creating a neural pathway, right? That's something in your brain. It's a connection. And the more you do it, the stronger that connection gets. And after a while, according to, I think it's the London University or one of the London universities, they did a study that showed that a habit takes 66 days to form in your head, in your mind. That's a general number. I mean, it's written a lot. I see a lot written as 21 days. I mean, you know, there's probably a bunch of different studies that say, but that's one of the studies I read, and it says it takes 66 days, and that's for the effort to, like, the effort it takes. That's your conscious effort to, you know, keep doing it. So when you first learn to do your shoelaces up, you have to consciously, you know, you're taught to do it, then you have to remember how to do it, and then shown again or whatever, and then it becomes a certain point, possibly that 66 days, where it now longer is not being taken up in the consciousness, where it's now just a habit. So, you know, I could do my shoes up and be talking to someone and I'm not even thinking of what I'm doing. I'm just thinking on the conversation, you know. That's the same with anything you do and those habits. I'm kind of going off on a tangent right now, but I'll come back to that in another book that I'm reading and stuff. But yeah, it's just really important to really take some time and think about, okay, these are my goals. What habits do I need to create? So again, if it's like a fitness goal or something, then you need to pursue the habit of going to the gym or going working out or home workout or, you know, this hour earlier that you're waking up, putting those 15 minutes or 20 minutes or however long you want into a little quick workout. That's going to compound over time, right? You do that 6 days a week, over a month, over a year, like by the end of that time, you've seen massive results. So that's pretty much what he's saying, design your own life. You know, really take some time to think about what are the things that you want to achieve, right? Now come back and design the daily things you need to do to make them habits so they are easier over time, right? It's going to take conscious, disciplined effort to do these things on a daily basis until the point where you reach a habit, and then it becomes easier because the neural pathways in your head, in your mind, are so much stronger. God damn, this knowledge. I'm just dropping knowledge bombs on y'all. Page 37. So that's one of the ideas. Okay, so I got some notes here. Other ideas in the book is get an accountability partner. Get my words out right. What this means is, it's just one of the ideas he puts in the book, is all these things you're doing. So for instance, like reading or practicing. I mean, come on, man. Like if one of the things you want to try and improve on is sight reading. I used to do this stuff. I used to do 20 minutes two 20 minute sessions of sight reading. One was rhythm reading and one was pitch reading, because they're both two different things you can practice within sight reading, for example. And they work together, right? So the rhythms are always going to be changing. Like you can get a various amount of rhythms, whereas the pitch, for instance, if you're reading on bass clef, it's always going to be the same pitch. This line is always going to be A, this line is always going to be C, right? Like that's never going to change. It's just, you know, getting used to that. So if you practice both of the separate entities on their own, and then you can put them together as well. So that's what I used to do, two 20 minute sessions or 15 minute sessions every single day. And by the time, you know, after a year went by, I was a fairly proficient like sight reader on my instrument. So that's what I'm saying. Like you got to decide on what your goal is. You got to find out what these things take on a daily basis. And he's just saying, wake up an hour early, because that's probably where you're going to get the best time to do it. Most people, if they're working jobs like 9 to 5, by the time they come home, they ain't really got the effort, the mental willpower to get through and do these habits. And you know, and there'll be a ton of stuff that comes in life and that, you know, that will basically be an excuse for you not to do it. So he's saying the best time, and it doesn't have to be, but the best time he's found, and all the people that have done this book follows this kind of course thing. I mean, it's not a course, but it's like, you know, just you read the book and you decide to fucking do it or not. And I've found it beneficial, man. I really have. But yeah, anyway, accountability partner is you get a friend or someone. I went off on a massive tangent and my bad. Finding an accountability partner. So get a friend or something like that. And, you know, you just tell them, look, I want to read. I'm planning to read a book a day. I'm planning to do some sight reading every day. I'm planning to do this, or I am going to do this. And what happens is I want you to call me, or I want you to like text me, or I will text you at the end of every month. And if I don't text you, or if I don't, you know, some way of communicating between this, you and this person, that you've done what you said you were going to do, like some proof or something like that, you know, or some, I don't know, you can figure that shit out. But having someone on the other end of a phone or some, or in your life, whatever, who can be that person who's like, did you do it? Did you do the thing you said you were going to do by the end of the month? And if not, like, give them a tenner. You got to pay them a tenner. I don't know. Like, something like that, you know? They are the kind of person that's going to just show a bit of interest in if you've done what you said you're going to do. And there should be a consequence if you haven't, For example, I got a friend of mine who's going to be my accountability partner for reading. And my plan, I said it, is 12 books in this year, 2020. One book a month, that is. And if I don't do one book a month, at the end of every month, we're going to have a quick chat. And if I don't do it, then I'll pay him a tenner. And that's it. And he knows if I'm bullshitting or not. So, you know, I got to be straight. So, yeah, that's kind of one of the other ideas he talks about in the book. Another idea I got here, seek out people to be your influences in your... Yeah, so he's talking about if you want to learn a certain skill set or you're looking to do something that someone else has achieved. I mean, there's a lot of things. If any of us want to do something, there's a lot of people out there that have already achieved that stuff, probably in our situation or worse. You know, if we're coming from being poor, a poor bastard that's hadn't got no money or, you know, whatever your circumstances are, there's probably 1,000 people, 100 people that have already done what you want to achieve in your situation, or they've been from a worse situation, coming from a worse situation. So the best way to learn what you want to do and achieve is going out and outsourcing those people, like going out and finding those people, you know, even if you can't physically get hold of them face to face or on a phone or an email or something, you know, find a book they've written or some audio or some, like, you know, YouTube footage of them doing a speech or a masterclass or something like that. Really go out your way and find the people that have achieved what you want to achieve and just learn as much as you can from them. Do you want to be a band leader? Do you want to be, you know, I know a drummer friend of mine who wants to be, you know, he wants to be a musical director for like a pop artist one day. So it's like, if you want to do that, then go find all the people that do that job. Find MDs, like find smaller band MDs, you know, in London, around your area. Look online, the world's best MDs. Adam Blackstone is the bass player MD of Justin Timberlake, Angie Stone, Jill Scott, like loads of big names. You know, he's like one of the biggest names out there for like that pop, R&B, soul, like, you know, musical director title. And, you know, he's got his own website. He comes out of blog posts and stuff like that. And he's had loads of interviews and stuff. So there's so much stuff you can go out and find online and stuff like that. So whatever it is you're looking to learn, someone's already done it. You know, all you got to do is go out there and find them. And if you can find a real person, like, and create a relationship, whether it be email, like, come on, man, like, you know, just make some effort to go out there and do it. But I thought that was a great idea as well. That's something else I took away from it. Lessons. Yeah, pretty much the lesson of this book that I really took away is you got to prioritize and dedicate time each day to your own self-development, whatever you decide self-development means to you. Does it mean becoming a better musician in a certain area? Is there a certain style that you're looking to develop? Is it marketing? Is it business? Is it understanding how to market yourself as a musician? Is it networking, how to speak and communicate and, you know, get out your comfort zone and be a better speaker and communicate it to other people, you know, or certain specific things, you know, you want to be a better reader, you want to be physically more healthy and stuff like that. These are all important things for everyone in life, not just musicians, but, you know, we're focusing on all the life things, all those things I just said, but we're talking about the music as well. So I think that's the biggest key from this book, is really prioritize and dedicate time every single day to something that's going to make you achieve your goals. You're not going to achieve your goals within a week when, you know, unless they're tiny. But, you know, we're looking to pursue the biggest things we can, the best things we can. You know, you only live once and you want to go out there and smash it, you know? And, yeah, we just got to rinse every day with all we can, you know, get the most out of every single day. And I really recommend reading this book anyway. I mean, that's pretty much the review. You know, that's pretty much the premise of the book. It's a good read. It's an easy read. And the guy has been through a lot and his mindset is incredible. So maybe if you don't want to read the book, just go online, search Hal Elrod. That's H-A-L-E-L-O-R-O-D. Search him. He's got some seminars that he's done. They're a good watch. Yeah, and, you know, just take some lessons from that. I would recommend this book anyway, for sure. I think I'll leave it at that anyway. That's the podcast. That's the book review. First book review done. I'm going to do a few more. Well, I'm going to do 12 more at least this year, you know, complete my goal. Yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this. Let me know what you thought of it. Thank you for listening on the podcast. That's the Penthouse 5 Band podcast. And if you are watching, thank you very much for watching. That's the YouTube channel, Penthouse 5 Band as well. Yeah, catch you on the next episode. Appreciate you watching. Appreciate you listening. Until next time, take it easy. Peace out.